Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
One of the things I'd like to do, if we could start off this morning, we're going to be talking a little bit about culture this morning. And whenever a message is shared here, it's also shared out in Mukunji. It's the same message. Grubby and I get together during the week and we go over the focus of the message. And so the same message here is going to be out there. But what I'd like to do this morning is to start off with some prayer, if that's okay. And the reason why I want to do that is because if you're like me, your heart might be feeling a little unsettled because there's a lot of crazy things happening in our world, isn't there? And, you know, I said in Mukunji, week after week, it's like I feel like I have to get up there and kind of address some ill in society because there's so much crazy things happening. There's so much violence and there's so much angst and unsettled kind of heart in our culture right now. And so I was thinking that it would be great if we started off this morning by praying that the Lamb has overcome our culture, that the Lamb has overcome our society, that the Lamb has overcome our politics, that the Lamb has overcome our family and societal ills. Is that okay? So I'm going to ask everybody, I know you all just sat down, but would you guys mind standing? We actually did this in Mukunji a week or two ago. So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to pray for something kind of crazy that's happening in our society and in our world, and I'm going to say, just like we sang, hallelujah, and we're going to do a little responsorial. You guys are going to say, the Lamb has overcome. Is that good? So let's try it. Hallelujah.
The Lamb has overcome.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we just declare this morning that you are sovereign. We declare this morning that you are good. We declare this morning, Father, that you are in control of all the cosmos, that you are in control of this country. Your hand is upon the world, Father. The world is yours. You created it, Father God. So, Lord, this morning we declare hallelujah. Father God, we know that we look out into this world and we see violence. We see insane behavior. We see families being torn apart. We see death. We see destruction. But Lord, we say that death has no sting, Father God. And Lord, we sing this morning, just as we sing it, hallelujah.
The Lamb has overcome.
Father, we pray, Lord, for all the crazy ills of our political world, Father God, for all the unsettledness, Lord, that we see out there, Father, for all the craziness, Lord Jesus, for all the angst, for all the finger pointing, for all the anger, Father God, we declare, Lord, that your hand is upon the politics of this world and on our country. Hallelujah. For all of our families, Father God, for our marriages, Lord Jesus, for all of the tension, Father, that can cramp us, that can frustrate us, Father God, that can cause us to question our faith, that can make us feel unsettled. Lord, we declare, Lord, that when we are unsettled, Father, that you are in control of our lives and our families and our marriages. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, for our churches, Lord, that you would enable us, Lord, to not hold back, to not be fearful, to not feel, God, that we have to quiver, that we need to be unsure, Lord, that we cannot speak the truth in love. We declare, Father God, that our churches would stand firmly in the foundation of your word, God, and the promises of your word, Father God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and
amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for allowing me to do that. So this week, it's our privilege to have Andrea Birdsall, who, as I said, is now Andrea Gorday here. She's going to be joining us with her new husband. His name is Ashish. They came in and spoke with the elders, and they're such a great couple. And Ashish, you guys are going to love him. Please feel free, when they get here, to say hello. We want to welcome Ashish and Andrea. We'll be welcoming them there in about 20 minutes or so. And we're going to say to Ashish, Ashish, this is Andrea's church, and this is your church as well. So this morning, somewhat briefly, I want to talk about the importance of this thing called mission. Andrea is one of our missionaries. But I want to talk this morning about this idea of mission in God's eyes. By mission, I mean how the church reaches out beyond itself with the good news of the love of Jesus. And my argument this morning is going to be that mission is God's response for the church to this real culture war on the planet. A lot of times we try to come up with responses to all the crazy culture things that we see. And systems and plans and ideas of man try to solve the culture war. But it's my contention here this morning that God's response for us, that God's response for the church to the real culture war is who he is and who we are in Christ. And we have a responsibility. The church is the answer, not because we're great, but because he is king. So in light of the rather large investment that NC4 makes in missions, I want to ask a question this morning. Why, when the developing world is kind of coming alive in Christ in so many ways, why are we sending missionaries to other places? It's a good question. Why not merely subsidize and put to work indigenous homegrown missionaries where they already are? It would be cheaper, according to the measure of the way in which the world understands cultural relevance, it would probably be more effective too. But interestingly, Jesus states in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:17, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." So from its inception, unlike Judaism, wherein nations were to come to God's central place, the church is called to go elsewhere in Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Another good question is, why not limit our sending to unreached people groups, to places and peoples where the gospel has never been preached? Now, I need to point out this morning, we do support indigenous missions. The Tarlets in the Philippines would be an example. Sharon Malcolm, we just sent a group there to work with her in the Amazon among the Shawi Indians. This would be an example of NC4 having a missionary in the midst of an unreached people group. But nevertheless, at NC4, the reason we don't do things is embedded into our philosophy of missions. For a ministry to be a mission activity here at NC4, it by definition has to be what we'd consider to be cross-cultural. But why is that? Why a distinction between relating to those within our immediate culture and without? Well, there's a reason. It is that we believe the good news was commanded by Jesus in the Great Commission to cross cultures and to bring humanity to a unity which was intended by our Father from the very beginning. So I want us to briefly look at a passage of Scripture this morning that describes the ultimate beginnings of the great divisions of humankind. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 11 this morning. It will be up on the screen if you have your Bibles or your cell phones and you want to turn there. Begin in chapter 11, starting in verse 1, where the origin of languages and cultures and even ethnicities is recounted. This is a section of Scripture that's always intrigued me and I've found pretty fascinating. So Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Just to give you a little background here, before Genesis 11, humanity was essentially homogeneous. One people, one language, which essentially offered perfect communication. So everyone was able to communicate. There was a lot of continuity going on in communication. And the truth is that the human unity is a powerful tool for human accomplishment. If you have unity, people can accomplish things. For those whose hearts beat fast whenever the PC word inclusivity is used, here's a picture of near-perfect human-induced inclusivity. So let's see what happens. I won't be unpacking it too much this morning because time is a little bit short and Andrea's on her way over. But we'll read and see if we can draw some conclusions as well. So Genesis 11, starting in verse 1. "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words." Verse 2. "It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there." Verse 3. "They said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar." Verse 4. "They said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. So the motivation here for building is self-promotion and to deify humanity. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The third motivation is to defy God's command, to go and to subdue earth, like they talk about in Genesis 1, verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. Verse 6. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them." Verse 7. "Come, let us go down and there and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Now, there are a couple of quick and kind of startling observations that we can draw from this story, especially in light of current kind of heated and cultural clashes around our world today. And the first one is this. Humanity can work to unify itself, but it can work to unify itself for all the wrong reasons. And it's not that unity isn't a good thing, but sometimes when humanity unifies itself, it can do it for the wrong reasons. In the 18th and 19th century, nations attempted to unify themselves under political philosophies, monarchy versus democracy, and it was a bloodbath. In the 19th and 20th century, the wars were the result of ideological attempts to unify communism and Marxism versus capitalism and fascism, all claiming what? Unity to humankind. Unity to humankind. Now, in the 21st century, we're back to this thing called culturalism. Virtually all the clashes that you look at are kind of cultural. And humanism is supposed to be the force that unifies all of us. Inclusivity is the mantra of our age, isn't it? It's a measure of all that's good. And while I'm not saying that inclusivity is bad, indeed, the scope of grace and the sacrifice of Christ is inclusive beyond our own comprehension. But here is a big problem. And what I have for you this morning is a wonderful gift called Grubby's Principle of Inclusivity. Let's take a look. So Grubby's Principle of Inclusivity says this. If you don't know who Grubby is, it's Pastor Jack, our beloved Grubby. He says that the principle of inclusivity is excluding another human being from my life, and this is not the worst thing that I can do. And that's interesting, right? That not including somebody in my life isn't necessarily the worst thing I can do, but it kind of feels that way sometimes. He says, excluding God from my life is the worst thing I can do. Only after I am included in God's plan for my life, in God's plan for my life, do I have the basis for including others. So we can't really truly be inclusive if it doesn't start with God's plan for my life. And it's not that we aren't to be inclusive and to reach out and to be unified. But sometimes our own attempts to unify can be a little bit misconstrued if it doesn't start with God's plan and purposes for my life. Are you there? That's Grubby saying, right? The truth is that the church is the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the only way that the clash of our cultures and our languages and our ethnicities can be addressed. Listen, folks, it is the only way. The only way for humanity to really unify is to sacrificially go across cultural barriers that sin of human arrogance has created in the first place. You know, there is a lot of arrogance going on out there, isn't there? And I find myself sometimes allowing myself and my faith and my belief to kind of puff up as if I have the truth and I have all the answers. But I have to keep my heart in check. Because if I don't and arrogance starts to abound, I'm not really unifying for the right reasons. But if humanity learns to break past the barrier of sin and thereby establish the city whose builder and maker is not us, but is God, the church, there is hope. There is hope for humanity. Hebrews 11:10 says so. Listen, there is hope for humanity. There is hope for humanity, but our posture has to be that our hope lies in God. From the very birthday of the church in Acts 2, cultural crossing was the mandate of the Holy Spirit. It was the mandate of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verses 4 to 7 says this: all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them was speaking his own language. Call this morning the miracle of this thing called hearing. A miracle of hearing. It doesn't matter to me whether they were addressing people in their own tongue or not. What matters is that the confusion stopped and people across the culture heard the same sound. And what was the sound? It was the gospel. It was the gospel. And what does that mean? Here it is. Don't miss it. One of the reasons that the church is given the power of the Holy Spirit is to unify humanity through the breaking down of cultural, racial, linguistic, and even political walls. So here is why NC4 sees mission as a cross-cultural mandate. Culture war originated in sin, and the church's mission is God's very response. Culture war originated in sin, but our mission, yours and mine, is God's response. And that's pretty cool. We get a job to do. We get to be the response to culture war. We get to be part of God's mission, God's response, you and I. God's way of unifying humanity is by sending us to be heard across cultures with the message of his love. 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 If love is not abounding in our hearts as we engage people, as we engage ideas, as we engage social media. I got wrapped up in that myself. If it's not coming from a heart that bleeds the love of God, that injects hope, that injects life, if we're coming from a position of anger, of finger pointing, of strife, of rhetoric, if we find ourselves wrapped up in that, we need to take a step back. And we need to say, am I being a beacon of God's love? Am I truly being the answer to the culture war that's happening in our world? Or am I being something else? God wants unity on the earth, not because God is somehow infatuated with political inclusivity, but because it is a powerful tool. When people love and they understand one another, it reflects the very nature of God. Now, there's so much more to be said regarding this chapter in Genesis. This morning, we're going to celebrate our diversity in the unity of the Spirit and all the great missionaries that God has blessed us with at NC4. We have a lot of people that we pray for on a daily basis. And I want to just pray this morning for some of them as well. And I wonder how many of us feel that we live a missional life as well. When we're engaging our families, we're engaging our workplaces, we're engaging our neighbors and our relationships and the people that are around us. Do we have that missional life as well? We're God's response for those culture wars. So I just want to lift up, and if you guys can agree with me, some of our missionaries from across the Lehigh Valley. We're going to pray this morning for Kent and Mary Alice, who are in charge of Battelle. Kent and Mary Alice are the parents of Ian Martin, who was here last week. We're going to pray for Andrea and Hashish. We're going to pray for Sharon Malcolm in the mountains of Guatemala and now the Peruvian Amazon. And then we're going to lift up Ian and Selena Martin, too, in the Czech Republic. So let's pray for them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church, God, and for those that we have been able to send out, for those that we've been able to support. Father, we lift up Kent and Mary Alice and Patel to you. Father God, there are so many that they touched through their ministry, so many whose lives are broken and beat down, Father, who come in through their doors. Father, we pray that you would continue their good work. Lord, we just pray for success in every country, Father, where there is a Patel location. Father, they've gone through some hardships. Lord, they've suffered some loss, Father. But I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that everything they've lost, God, would be replaced tenfold. Father, that you would bless their efforts, Lord Jesus. Transform lives, Father. I pray, God, for an invigoration of spirit for Kent and for Mary Alice, God, for wisdom and discernment. Father, I know that they're moving out into other venues of business, Lord. We pray that you bless their business endeavors. Lord, that the world would look at them and just be baffled by your hand moving in their lives, God. That they'd be amazed at how wonderful you are, God, working in and through Battelle. Father, thank you for them. Lord, in Spain and in England, God, we pray for a harvest, for prosperity, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Sharon Malcolm, God. Lord, the work that she does, Father, is so effective, God. Lord, she is in the heart of a people, God, who need to hear your love. I pray, Father, that you would bless the work of her hands, God. I pray, Father, for the people of Guatemala and the Peruvian Amazon, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, for a revival to be brought forth, Lord, in those areas, God, that your Holy Spirit would rise, that many would come to know you, Father God. I pray, Lord, for an anointing upon Sharon, that your hand would be upon her, God. Bless the work of her hands, Father God, and all that she comes in contact with. We pray, Lord, that lives would be transformed, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Ian and Selena that were here last week, God. Lord, they are a young couple just at the cusp of their ministry, God. I pray, Father, for wisdom and direction for them in Prague. I pray, Father, that all the youth, Lord, that come in between their church and their youth program, Father, Lord, that each heart, Lord, would be transformed, that you give Ian and Selena, Lord, even as a couple, Father, an anointing of your love, Father. Pour your love out in them and through them, God, in Jesus' name. I ask, Father God, that you give Ian just a real cohesion, God, between who he is as a person and who you are, Father God. I pray, Lord, that as he gets into your word and as he preaches your word, Father God, that it would flow out of him, Father, that there would be a truth, Lord Jesus, that would be spoken forth, God. And Lord, I just lift Selena up to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the arts, for her dance, Lord Jesus, Lord, to breathe life, God. So bless them, Father, as a couple, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for Andrea and Ashish. We thank you for the good work. We thank you for bringing them together. And Father, we just look forward to them sharing this morning their hearts, God, and what you're doing in their lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.